Hello, everyone. Again, we're on a sunshine hillside with these outrageous words, which we've been looking at. And over the last, a bit interrupted, a bit spaced out, but I think they need to be, because these words that Jesus says on this hillside are outrageous. And he's really saying, you get these right and you're living God's way, a completely different way. And a way in my love, my power, which you will find a happy way. And today the attitude is, as we heard in the reading, blessed are the merciful, because they be shown mercy. It's the only beatitude which is a kind of rebound beatitude. You do something and something happens back. I'm going to come to that in a moment. Mercy is one of those great Bible words, like righteousness we looked at a little while ago. Big God word, which describes who he is and how he acts. It's loving kindness. It's like Psalm 136 we began with. You know, it's his mercy endures forever. And NIV translates it, his love endures forever. And it's the same. It's a loving kindness. It's an amazing, warm, practical, overwhelmingly kind, generous mercy word, and it's wide-ranging. It applies, of course, to showing kindness to people in need. It's a kind of Good Samaritan mercy. And that story, which is the best known story of Jesus, probably the parable of the Good Samaritan, is when we hear it, we always like to feel that given the best circumstances, we would be like the Good Samaritan and not like those people who walk on by. But the truth is, of course, we know that very often when it comes to the crunch, we find excuses, sometimes very good excuses, not to show mercy. This man I mentioned a couple of times ago, about his name was Stan, about his sort of matter-of-fact approach to life, about how robust he was in viewing everything as of no real consequence and grin and bear it. And even when he was told he was dying, saying it was really no big deal. Well, Stan had a very strong view on charity. And he said he would never, never give to any charity. There are all these things you'd see and hear about that give to this and give to that. I'd never do that, he said, because you never trust charities. They're feathering their own nests, spending money on themselves. But why should I spend my hard-earned money on this? And as for these people on the street asking, I'd never do that. They'd only waste the money on booze or fags. And he was adamant. I've worked hard for my money. I've got people to look after, my family. So why should I care? Why should I bother? And it's a very good question. Mercy is also about showing loving kindness to people who hurt us. Now, there won't be anybody listening who hasn't been hurt by something or someone. It's very easy to be hurt. It's very easy to cause hurt, often unwittingly, but deep. We find ourselves in a world where there's so much hurt, and children and young people are often hurt. And when Jim was talking about children and their needs, one's so aware of how easy it is to damage children and young people. But it's true of all of us, whatever our age. We can be hurt by others. We can hurt by friends, especially those who were once maybe close to us. It's hard, very hard to take. But we can be hurt by anybody. And we also know that we can hurt others. It's a kind of world in which there's so much hurt. There's unbelievable trolling on social media. It's an extraordinarily hurtful world. And when Simon Peter comes to Jesus, and he clearly has been hurt, he seems to have been hurt, and he says, how many times do I have to keep forgiving my brother? Don't know if it actually was his brother, but clearly somebody close to him who's hurt him. How many times do I have to forgive? Well, why should I have to keep on being the one who forgives? And when he says up to seven times, he thinks he's being very magnanimous. But Jesus says, no, it's 70 times seven. which means actually you can't keep count because you never stop doing it, because that cycle needs to be broken by your love. Why should I be the first to do it? Right? Why question? Why should I care? Why should I bother? The two men, two schoolboys, were in school together, same class, but very different. One, a born winner, who was destined for great things, could make money like so easily, and was really very wealthy pretty soon in his life. The other was, sad to say, kind of a born loser, you'd say, because everything he touched went wrong and nothing ever seemed to work. In fact, this poor man became so desperate, and he asked his wealthy, he didn't really know him, but they'd been to, asked him for a loan. Could you loan me £250, he said. I'll pay you back. And the wealthy man said, well, okay. It was a little later on, but a fat brown envelope came through his door. On it was HM Revenue and Customs. And inside there were a large number of sheets of paper detailing an audit that had been taken of all his practices, his business practices. And the fact that the money had come and gone and he'd just not paid his dues at all. In fact, he was in a terrible mess. And when he looked at the end, he saw that he owed £7,634,722.04. He was devastated. It was impossible. He just didn't have anything. His money came, his money went. His mortgage was huge. I mean, he didn't have anything. So he pleaded. He went before a tribunal and he begged with all his energy. And please, please forgive me. Give me time to pay it back. Please, please be patient with me. And this tribunal, to everybody's astonishment, heard his plea and cancelled the debt. And social media went wild. TikTok did. They all did. They'd never heard anything like this. When he was encountered by this other poor man, something snapped inside him, however. He grabbed hold of him, actually grabbed him, and shook him and said, you haven't paid a penny back to me. Where's the money? And the man said, please, please give me time to pay you back. Please, please, please be patient with me. And the man refused and took out an injunction. And when social media heard this, well, it went viral. The vicious victimization of this poor man when so much good had happened to him. He couldn't believe the mean-heartedness. How could somebody do this? And of course, it reached the tribunal's ears and they called him back and they said, we heard you when you pleaded for us to forgive the debt. Why couldn't you forgive this other man who owed you this? And they remitted the forgiveness. And he was unable, obviously, to pay it and was thrown into prison. And bad things happened to him. Now, that attempted retelling of the story in Matthew 18 may sound exaggerated, extremely exaggerated. And of course, the business of the Inland Revenue forgiving you a debt is exaggerated. But when Jesus told it, it was meant to be extraordinary, because 10,000 talents, which is in the translations, they do different things as with ours when we heard today. But 10,000 talents was just in terms of, well, it's millions, millions. The whole of the revenue of Palestine for 1 year was under 1,000 talents. And the revenue of Herod the Great, who was the wealthiest man around, was under 900 talents. So this was an absurd amount. And everybody, when they heard Jesus, this is just amazing. And for him to be forgiven that, And of course, the other amount, just a few denarii, it's just a few pounds, a few hundred at most. It's nothing in comparison. When Jesus tells a story, it's about a man who's failing to connect the dots between the astoundingly good thing that's happened to him. I mean, just miraculous. I mean, how could it have happened? This debt wiped out, this great thing that's occurred in his life, which changed everything for the better. And how he actually behaves when somebody else is in need. And it's a story to everybody ever since who's ever said to God, "Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his going to the cross. And just, I can't take it all in, but the way in which you opened the way for me to belong as a child of God, the forgiveness and the promises, the purpose and eternal life, it's just overwhelming. It's just wonderful." But between saying, acknowledging that and how we behave, we behave with people very close to us, people in need of loving kindness, people in our homes, our workplaces, our church, our neighborhood, a gap between all that God has given and how we now should pass it on. There is an amazing sense, isn't there, that when we actually stop and wonder, which Lent is hopefully helping us to do, just what it means for Jesus to walk the way of the cross and to do this for me. When you take time, you realize more of the immensity, because sometimes, may the Lord forgive us, we do take it a bit for granted. We don't feel as grateful and as overwhelmed as we should be. When Jesus says, when I meet you, something wonderful and big happens to you. You do know that. It happens to be true when I look back over my ministry, that those people who came to me and said, "I can't believe that God will ever forgive me." People who were in real need, desperate trouble, and who felt there was just no way, and there's no way, if there is a God, that he could still love them. And I remember one man coming, and one or two listening to this will be able to identify him, because he was in my Cambridge church. One man coming, who a friend had said, "Come and see me." And his life was in a terrible, terrible mess. It really was. And he poured this out, and it was pretty awful to listen to. And he was saying, "You know, can God forgive me?" And as he took those steps that only the Holy Spirit makes possible, and was led to the place where he was able to say, "Jesus, be my Lord and my Savior, and cleanse me and put things right." Only when that happened did suddenly this amazing transformation occur. And he became a kind of unstoppable mercy shower. And he was a taxi driver, and the Cambridge News ran a story trying to find out who this taxi driver was who'd seen a man collapse by the side of a road and put him in the taxi, taken him up to Adam Brooks, stayed with him in A&E until they worked out what to do, took him back home, cared for him. Who was this man? And many of us, I mean, in the church, we knew who it was. And sometimes, well, the mercy, when he went to Romania, and Sheila Parr will know this story, if Sheila's listening today, she will remember this very well. When he went and he took photographs of the children in the orphanage there, he came back and he broke down into tears with the church and said how we had to do something. His heart was touched. There are many needs, but this was the need, and it was overwhelming, and how we had to fill the biggest lorry we could with medical supplies and all these other things that were needed and necessary. And he went, and it was kind of exhausting because all of us were caught up in this. And true enough, eventually, and it was on the local news, actually went national radio too, all this sort of built up this passion to give and to show mercy. And as it happened, the first big lorry went out, and that wasn't enough. There had to be enough. And I remember it as being, I mean, I use the word exhausting. Many people right involved in this and collecting the stuff and storing it. And wow. But it was exhilarating because there was a sense in which it was being done for Jesus, because Jesus had made all this big difference to us. And that's what the rebound bit is in this beatitude. When God blesses us, when he throws his mercy at us in Jesus, and he wants us to pass it on and to throw it out to others. And that passing on, of course, is when he gives back mercy. We may not be thanked when we pass on. Loving kind, we may be anonymous. I mean, people may not know and may not be thanked at all. But the rebound is that when you receive from God and you give it out, God gives you back. And you know the wonder of living in the freedom of his grace. Of course, the negative side is there. And that's the chilling thing. Because the actual last verse of that parable is awful to hear. The man's been thrown into prison because he failed to forgive, and bad things happened to him. You read about that. And Jesus said, this is how my heavenly Father will treat every one of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart. There's another sort of rebound, that if knowing God's love, it's not passed on, then you close up the heart. You fold up inside yourself, and there's a meanness and a hardness of spirit. Jesus says, I'm alive. My Holy Spirit is alive and well. And I'm there to do this hard thing, to show loving kindness. When you're hurt and you don't feel like doing it, when there's another need and you feel at the end of your resources, Jesus says, I'm with you to help you so that you can go on knowing this wonderful flowing grace and love of God. I'm there to stop that, the cold calculations which parcel out little bits of help here or there. I want to banish that petty thinking which holds those grudges and holds them deeply. When in perspective, in comparison with what I've done for you, I want to stop you being people who are limited, because by my love and my power that I keep on wanting to show you and to open up in your lives, I want you to know what it is for pride, which says, I'm not going to be the first person to do this, to realize how Jesus is calling you to, and how within that you can be the happiest people in the world. Is this easy? Oh, no. None of the Beatitudes are they? They take us to deep places. But what a practical challenge to us, especially in times of lockdown, and we're cut off from others, and showing acts of kindness are even more important right where we are. May the Lord give us that loving kindness which so moves our hearts, we see its enormity and we pass it on this week. A prayer. Lord, forgive us, because it's true so often we take for granted the extraordinary things you've done for us, just how much you have won on the cross by your dying, a victory for us which opens up life now and beyond death. help us to be people who pass on that grace and love. And that when people see this happening, there might be a sense that we really are sharing the loving kindness, the mercy that you shower upon us in order that we might pass it on to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.